In 2007, Susan Norrie, one of this country's most highly regarded artists, represented Australia at the Venice Biennale. The work that took her there was a monumental work. It was called Havoc, and it was an exploration of the Lucy volcano disaster. I don't know if you remember, that was the mud volcano that erupted in May 2006 in Sidoarjo, Indonesia, and had a devastating impact on the local population, many of whom lost their homes and their livelihoods. The mud volcano, thought to be triggered by the blowout of a nearby gas well, is still active today, and even though there have been all kinds of efforts to investigate and mitigate the impact, the mudflow continues to cause disruption to the lives of local communities living in the area. Susan Norrie's returned to the site of the world's largest mud volcano in East Java. It's 10 years, obviously, since her last work from there, and she's made a new moving image work called Aftermath, which she describes as a meditation on community, loss and resilience against a bleak backdrop of large-scale environmental destruction. And she joins us to share her sense of that devastated place. So, when did you first visit Sidoarjo?
I first visited Sidoarjo in 2006. Originally, I found an image in the newspaper in May 2006 of a small house in mud. And in fact, at the time, it reminded me of a previous work, Undertow, which I exhibited at ACCA in 2002. And it was shot at night, and I was sort of haunted by this image. So I pursued the idea of this being the project for the Venice Biennale.
So had you spent a lot of time in Indonesia prior to that?
No. I was fortunate enough when I was in my adolescent actually to go to Bali and Taiwan and to Japan. And I'd also spent a certain amount of time actually in Southeast Asia during my 20s and 30s. But it was really my first time to East Java in 2006.
And it was that image that drew you there, that made you know that you wanted to make work in that space.
Yes, yeah. And also I feel too that I've been interested in natural man-made disasters for many years now. And I wasn't necessarily chasing misery at all. I hesitated at first in terms of pursuing this project because I knew I was entering a zone which was quite new, where previously I was either working with archival footage or sort of like Greenpeace footage with Undertow, or I was shooting my own footage or working with people on sites that were either in Japan or in New Zealand, all cultures actually which are based around the Ring of Fire. I think this has been a predominant preoccupation in my practice over many years now.
What is it about natural and man-made disasters that inspires a kind of artistic impulse in you? Because I completely get what you're saying. There must be a real tension when you go into a place in kind of capturing it and documenting it for art.
It's that thing of human error, which is always a possibility. I also feel too that we as humans actually haven't dealt with nature in the way that we could have, you know, that we've exploited nature. We've also exploited people often in circumstance, say, in highly densely populated areas, especially you find in sort of countries like Indonesia or even Japan for that matter. And I think that in many ways what's been happening in Southeast Asia and Asia Pacific in the last number of years has a lot to do with climate change, but it also equally has a lot to do with, sometimes I kind of think it's this of the force of nature, like a sort of reminder that we need to readjust the way in which we deal with the world. And so I guess the idea of dealing with man-made and natural disasters is also to a degree a comment on where we are, you know, like it's a sort of reckoning of sorts.
So whereabouts in Indonesia is Sidoarjo?
It's in East Java. I mean, you basically fly from Bali to Surabaya, and then it's about, I'd say, an hour's drive from Surabaya.
So what was it like going back there 10 years after your original visit? Because unlike being there in the immediate wake of the disaster, it would have been a...
Yes, it was quite different actually, because with the disaster in 2006 and 2007, it was a unique accident that occurred. I mean, I think everyone feels that it was ultimately an oil gas drilling incident, mining incident at the time. But, you know, and you would question actually to why actually they were drilling in such a sort of volatile and seismic sort of region anyway. And there had been a history actually of mud volcanoes in the area anyway. And in fact, actually, it's very interesting because mud volcanoes are an indication of gas and oil deposits anyway, all through the world. And so it was a very sort of messy, complicated situation. There's a lot of shame, I think, associated with it, which is not dissimilar to Fukushima in that way, where a lot of the media and the government and also the sort of multinational companies were suppressing it. So when I went back, actually, in 2015 and then in 2016, actually, I made two trips back. It was extraordinary because the villages, which I remember, that were sinking into the mud, no longer existed at all. 13 villages were now buried under this hardened landscape of of mud, which was pretty extraordinary. So it was quite devastating.
You're listening to Blueprint for Living on RN with me, Michael Williams, and I'm talking to artist Susan Norrie about her time spent in and around East Java, documenting the aftermath of the Lucy volcano disaster of 2006-2007. Susan, unlike most natural disasters, a volcano is an ongoing reality. The site stays active, and so presumably the people there not only have to deal with the cleanup from the disaster, but they have to adapt their life. How much did you find that to be the case when you returned?
That was the extraordinary aspect of going back, because on a daily basis, 7 days a week, these men actually worked for BPLS, which was an agency formed by the Indonesian government to deal with the mud disaster in 2008. I mean, they had a prior agency, but they realised around 2008 that this was going to be an ongoing sort of kind of disaster zone. So these guys actually, on a 7 day a week, 10 hours a day, dredge the mud. They have these ponds around the Lucy mud volcano, and they flush water into it and then they with the mud, and that is then transported through to Pahrong River. And I did quite a lot of research to find out the impact on the people in the Pahrong River, and especially in relationship to the shrimp farmers. And it's a pretty devastating situation, but at the same time, I think that humans manage to adapt under certain conditions, and that really, to be quite honest, it's all that they can do for the moment. It has subsided, obviously, a huge amount, the Lucy Mud volcano, but it's still having an impact on the area. I actually ended up sort of also pursuing the idea of, on my second trip, of being in contact with a company called AlterTrade, which was a Japanese Indonesian company that works with shrimp harvesters, which have a sort of traditional practice going back 300 years, and they work with the tides and the moon. So when they and that was kind of very interesting for me to sort of observe that life kind of goes on, so to speak, but equally too that these guys who were sort of stopping further mud going into more villages were, you know, round the clock working. I think the other thing that was extremely sort of curious and interesting to me, I met a guy called Hardy Prosetto, who's the chairman of BPLS, and he was attempting to convince me that, you know, this could eventually in the future be made into a geopark. And I'm not, you probably don't know what a geopark is, but it's actually it has to be ratified by UNESCO, United Nations, but basically it's a site where you have people being able to attract monies for scientific research, ecotourism, and also studying the site in terms of prior mud volcanic activity in relation to history. I mean, there's a kind of dark tourism to that, of course, as well. But I suppose because of all the ongoing debate around whether it's a man-made or natural disaster, and luckily, actually, compensation has pretty much been paid. I think it's been paid out to the tune of 99% now, which is a huge sort of relief. But I think that they don't know really what to do to stop it. But they need, obviously, money. They need further scientific research. So this was another way to kind of think about a future. But unfortunately, I just couldn't, at this point in time, depict that in my work because it didn't exist yet. I mean, sure, it was actually in a process, like a vision, like an idea for the future. So I decided to deal with the workers on the ground, and not unlike the ponds actually for the harvesters, the shrimp farmers as well. So you have the ponds for the Lucy Mud volcano, and then in the same area, in exactly the same area, not very far away, you have the shrimp harvesters in their ponds.
You describe the need for artists to bear witness to events with, I think the phrase you use is a kind of poetic detachment. Mm. Was that possible in a context like Siduarjo? I mean, I can see the importance of it artistically, and I understand that, but it must be incredibly hard when faced with the kind of devastation that you were faced with?
I think what is changing in Indonesia, and obviously in Japan, probably more so in Japan than Indonesia at the moment, is that disaster management, disaster prevention, disaster mitigation, and also I think with the new president, President Widodo, and especially in relation to what happened last year in Paris with the climate change conference, I just think that people are becoming more accountable. They can't really get away with what happened in 2006 and 2007 with the Lucy Mud volcano, nor in Japan actually Fukushima could ever happen again. Regulations have taken place. People are expected to deal with things in a much more substantial and profound way around these sort of issues. You know, you can't just exploit people and you can't get away with corruption at a level that's occurred in the past.
Susan Norrie, thank you so much for joining us on Blueprint for Living. Susan Norrie's moving image work Aftermath, 2016 work, which features Siduaju heavily, is part of her exhibition Fieldwork 2006 to 2016. It's on at the Ian Potter Museum of Art in Melbourne until Sunday, the 3rd of July 2016. And Susan Norrie's been my guest this morning. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN. I'm Michael Williams.